Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into your word. And some of the things that you showed me, especially over the years, that I can honestly say, dear Heavenly Father, I haven't followed them true to its source, but have we grown and learned as we plug into you and your word. And thank God, Heavenly Father, you sent us the Holy Spirit. Because without him, who could be qualified to mentor me? Without him backing my mentors. Father, you said, as our master is, so will we be. And Father, I want my master to be without a ceiling on his life. And I'll do my best to see to it that I don't have any wood, hay, and stubble floating around on the inside of me. So that when I deliver the pure word of God, the day of your people's testing, though it be tried by fire, will stand. Because it's made of purified gold, silver, precious stone. And so, Father, this morning as I begin to share the word, may your people get a hold of it. And may we run with it with everything that is within us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Proverbs 22... Actually, I'm sorry, it's in Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And this word thinks in his heart, so is he. When I looked it up, it literally meant to act as a gatekeeper. And it had me a little stumped what it meant by my thinking being in a place of a gatekeeper. Finally, it just dawned on me that I'm the one in charge of what I let in and what I let out in my thinking. And that's what makes me up as a person. Well, in the Old Testament, many of the fathers and the prophets cried out that their soul would be delivered. There was a way that their soul would become delivered. And it was always pointing to the time that Christ would come. And in his coming, he would deliver the soul. Well, that confused me because for many years I taught that my soul had to be renewed by the Word of God. But I always had a question that as I was receiving revelation and insight, I still had a part of me that wanted to revert back to the old me. And so that stumped me because I figured if my natural mind was being renewed, then why doesn't jump more into alignment with God's Word than it is? If I know truth, then how come this mind of mine still speaks against it? Then we discovered over a process of time that our soul... You only have one soul. The Bible is very clear that you only have one soul. Amen. But the Bible, I finally caught it. And it became real clear to me. Your soul, even though you only have one, has two minds within it. Two thought processes. It has the thought process of that which is natural. And it has the thought processes of that which is spiritual. Until I get born again and the Word of God circumcises my soul, cuts away the understanding of the natural mind versus the spiritual mind, then I don't really understand what renewing my mind is really all about. How to think differently. You know, thinking differently is not as easy as people seem to think it is. First time I was told how to think right, I always thought wrong. Matter of fact, I'd go to conferences and they'd all tell me how to think right. And I'd leave the conference not edified, but depressed. Because it validated everything within me that I was doing wrong. But thank God, you know that God says with every temptation that comes your way, he's able to make a way of escape for you. Now this is a part I don't like, that you may endure it. Well, you're gonna take me to a place that I can endure. I want to get out of it. I don't want to just endure it. Well, you got to realize that how many of you know that if you live in this fallen world, you're going to run into problems. And sometimes you like the problems just to disappear when you get into the Word of God. But I find a lot of times it don't. But there's a place God can take you to where you're able to endure it until it passes. Now, I always thought that if I get in enough faith messages that I would never have another problem come my way again. And I found that was not right thinking. I always wondered for many years in Romans 8:7 why it said that the minute the mind of the Spirit speaks, there's my natural mind that speaks against it at the same time. Now, when you understand that your soul contains those two mind processes, then you understand that when God begins to work in your soul to set it free, you follow me? Your natural mind doesn't go anywhere. Why? Because it functions in the realm that you and I are living in. But the mind of the Spirit is not limited to this realm. It also has a way of operating above it. And that's why it calls itself revelation knowledge. It means the knowledge that you contain in the natural has a way of functioning above it in the supernatural. And so when I was taught that my mind was being renewed, no one told me that the mind that I was having renewed was my spiritual mind, because my spirit was made perfect when I got born again, and I found that not to be true. Yes, I was actually declared righteous, but my soul needed to what? My spiritual mind in my soul needed to be renewed to what God had made it. So that my natural way of thinking could be dominated and purged from me. So that I would no longer obey what my natural mind tells me, but what my spiritual mind was telling me. And I found the secret that helps you deal with the way you think if it's not according to the Word of God. And I found that it's simpler than what we give it credit for. Because you know something? We all grow in knowledge, don't we? That means that when we grow in knowledge, we have a new set of understanding that comes our way. That's why mind renewing is a process that takes time. But in the meantime, we have a grace that covers us till we get to that place. And that's good. Amen? The problem with being able to deal with the cares and stresses of this life and everything, it really starts with the way we think. There's a thinking process that we go through. I didn't have a problem with my thinking until I became a believer. And I found that I was reading this book called the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, and the thinking that I found in it was contrary to the thinking that I had accepted. Because I didn't know that there was a spiritual... I heard about a spiritual realm, but I didn't have the revelation of it. Because I was made up mostly of my senses. So when I got born again, God came down by the agency of the Holy Spirit and separated my soul in those thought processes. He gave us spiritual mind, and we retained the natural mind. Well, we have to have the natural mind to function in this realm. But the problem is the natural mind has input into it from this world that is not good for us. And so what we have to do is begin to get a revelation that when we face the storms of life, God has said in His Word something that is very important for us to get a hold of that will help us in dealing with our thinking, especially when we're under pressure. Now, how many of you know what defines you under pressure? I'll tell you what defines you under pressure. Your thinking. Even to the point sometimes people under pressure don't know how to get out of that pressure And they're taking their own life because they can't live with it. But thank God, because we are believers, we have a place that we can go in the Word of God that tells us how to deal with the way we think naturally. Amen? Now, I want you to notice something here. When I was reading this, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's referring to me being responsible as the gatekeeper of my own thinking. And God one day spoke to me and said, I want you to read backwards. So as I was reading backwards, I knew he was going to tell me when to stop. And as I was reading backward, he told me to stop at verse 17 of Proverbs 22. And so I stopped there. And he said, I want you to read it now forward. Incline your ear, and hear the words of the wise. You know what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now watch what he says here. And apply your heart to my knowledge. Apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. It is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth? Wow. That you may answer words of truth. That you may answer words of truth to those who send to you wrong. In the Hebrew it says, to those who send you. To those who send you. And so, he's telling us something here that's very interesting. First of all, he says, you've got to apply your heart to knowledge. In other words, you've got to let some things out that was entered in, that should not have been entering in. You got to let them out, and then you got to let God's knowledge and counsel enter in. Amen? That's a form of humility. And so you let them enter in. And notice he says that this is how you keep them within you. And in order to keep them within you, God designed you to a place that you can do that. He says, I have given you this insight so that you can fix them on your lips. Now, a lot of people don't really understand the ministry of John the Baptist and how powerful it was. And they said, up until the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom suffered violence. But the violence take it by force. Let's go over there to that particular statement. And I'm going to share something with you that's going to help you when you get into a test and trial and you have to exercise your faith, and you're not going to pull that same nonsense that a lot of people pull, thinking that you're going to pull faith off the shelf when you need it. Faith has to grow in you. It has to seed itself in you. That is the kingdom of God that seeds itself in you so that it may grow in you. So that when the problems and things of life come your way, you'll be able to know how to deal with it, not just pull it off the shelf, but you will be prepared to deal with the situation. And one of the ways that you get there in preparing yourself for these situations is the fact that the Word of God has entered within you and it has taken root in you. So in order for it to take root in you, then it can stabilize or control your thinking processes. Because the spiritual mind, when it gets renewed to what it really should think like, the first thing your natural mind is going to have a voice against it. That's why it says that the natural mind will never subject itself or submit it to the will of God. And so you have to make it submit to the will of God through your spiritual thinking, which the Holy Spirit is there to help you understand Get an understanding of the wisdom of God so that they can dominate your natural thinking. And too many times when we get into situations, we rely upon what we think within us to control the situation, where God has put you in a better place than allow you to be controlled by what you think about the situation you get into. Well, what place has He chosen to take us? Well, John the Baptist, there was none greater until he came. And according to, where's that? In Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. There was a change that took place. The first word for violence here means adversity by violence. Adversity by violence. But the second word for violence changed in its meaning. The second word means to seize it and take control of one's livelihood by living. So, up until John the Baptist, when he came, John the Baptist did something. He entered in as the greatest prophet of all because he was introducing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a change was taking place. And the change that was going to take place is now man would be in a position where when adversity comes his way, he's able to seize and take a hold of it. And it involves even his livelihood. He can take control back to his life because Jesus came and appeared for us. Well, what did he do to come to appear for us? To take charge of everything that we have lost and give it back to those of us who have received him. That means we become an inheritor of the person of Jesus. Isn't that good? Now, lately, more than ever, God has really been on my case about the words of our mouth. The words of our mouth. Well, we know when we're in any situation that we get into, the first thing that we have to do is understand how faith works. Faith speaks against those things that come against us. But I got news for you, people. If you could care less about what you are as a believer, you just want heavenly fire insurance, I guarantee you, you will die before your time. You will not finish the full course of your life. Because God turned your being saved into your salvation. Your salvation now is up to you. And I'm telling you people, when I bury one of my own in my own church that has sat under my teaching, it grieves me because they didn't have to die before their time. But every time I observed and noticed their MO, and there's always never a change in what they said on their lips. Now I want to tell you something about this ushering in. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. And this will help you understand something about the words of your mouth. In Luke chapter 1, we know the story. This angel appeared before Zacchaeus that worked in the temple. Now I'm going to tell you about Zacchaeus. He was a priest. He had religion big time. But he evidently had a love for God. I'm going to tell you how God, you know what God does? He never works through what is natural. God always works through the supernatural. Zacchaeus was in the same condition that Abraham and Sarah were in. And they were old. And so this angel appeared and told him some things. And one of the things he said in verse 15, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." He's talking about John the Baptist. "And he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children." Talking about Jesus. "And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And what was the next thing that Zacchaeus said? And Zacchaeus said to the angel, "How shall I know this? How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." What is he responding to the angel Gabriel with? His natural way of thinking. People, your faith does not function by natural thinking until your natural thinking has been dominated and purged from your spiritual mind. And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." You know what he did to Zacchaeus right there? He said, "I'm now doing damage to your thinking from the natural. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." What happened? A change took place. What kind of change? Well, if Jesus is going to come, if he's going to have any seed planted in the earth for that prophet to reveal Christ, he's got to close up his wife's womb. He got to close up Zacchaeus' mouth. Because he would have probably talked himself out of the whole deal. And so God went to the right, to the heart of the right matter, and shut his mouth up. Until finally they had the son. Can you imagine what he was thinking up until that time? We would have never known what he was thinking because he couldn't speak. His natural mind was probably running rampant the whole deal, but he couldn't say anything. The kingdom of God was taking a change, people. Your natural thinking was no longer going to be what you were designed for, but a new way of thinking, what you inherited through the Son. That's why he says he speaks to us one way today. He speaks to us in a Son. He speaks to us through the Son. I had somebody tell me, "Well, the veil was the law." I said, "Oh, really? Then how come it's attached to flesh?" The veil is really the flesh, your outward man. He's the one that cuts you off from the kingdom of God, not the law. There's a righteousness to the law. But the flesh cannot comprehend what the law was really meant to be. And so as a result, this is what happened. And afterwards, he could speak. Well, of course he could speak, because now his mind has to conform to the fruit of what took place. You know what that tells me? There's a secret to how to face the situations of life, and it's found in your tongue. It's found what you say. And it's important how you say it. But most of the time when we get into the trials of life, we open our mouths and we express the trial, and we ought to be just like Gabriel, shut our big fat mouths up until we get our sinking in control. And you know how to get your sinking in control before you even say it to somebody else? Say it to yourself. Sometimes we need to speak to our thinking. I've been doing it a lot lately. Because my thinking has not been right under adverse situations. And the Bible says that the sower sows seed so that I can take the seed and put it alongside myself and conform to it. Well, why did he say that? Because a lot of times we need to read the Word of God and speak it to us. And here's what we need to do. We need to speak it against the thinking that is contrary to what God is saying to us. Because then when we say it to somebody else, it'll make sense. So God has designed the Word to be spoken in order for us to corral our thinking, natural thinking, first. And what it will do is eventually, if you say it enough to yourself, eventually God's Word will have a certainty take place in you. So God has designed for our time period to speak what Jesus already did for us. But when we get into adverse situations and circumstances, we don't feel like saying anything. We feel like keeping our big fat mouth shut. No, some of us want to express everything we're going through. And you know what that does? It prolongs the torture. It makes things go on and on and on and on. And you've got to get to a place where you stand up and deal with your present natural thinking. And the way that you deal with it is by letting it come out your mouth to you. It says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And my natural way of thinking does not always hear what God's saying until I take what God is saying and speak it out my mouth to my ear. And not try to convince somebody else it's true. Try to convince myself that it is true. And then people will see the results of what is taking place in me and not me criticizing and judging them for what they're not doing. It's a personal thing. Turn over to James chapter 3. I knew you were going there, Pastor. I knew it. I knew you were going there. God has a way of really dealing with your mouth. James chapter 3. Let's go to verse 1. We're all famous for this. We want to teach many what we know. James comes right off and says, you better not want to be a teacher. Because you're going to be judged by what you say. He goes on to say, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in words, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Notice, if a guy can get control of his mouth, he can get control of his whole body. Like Sue says, I can't hardly wait for my glorified body. We pack these bodies around long enough. How many of you are fed up with it? Sue wanted me to look at some pictures, and every time I look at them, I go through torture. That's the way I used to look 44 years ago. What happened to my hair? Where did that bubble in the middle come from? What's some wrinkles all about? Road of time, brother. Road of time.
But I got news for you. The Bible says even though the outward man is decaying away, yet your inward man is renewed day by day. I'm younger on the inside and older on the out. But that don't stop me. Somebody said, how old you are? And I said, I'm blue. And they said to me, boy, you're a young blip blip. And I says, thank you. I got down on the ground to paint some baseboard in our house. This was the first time I got down at my age and was painting the baseboard and went to get up. I got to thinking, well, I need one of those alert buttons. I didn't even know I needed one. I struggled to get up. I said, Lord, in your word it says, we will run and not be weary. So when you get older, you got to start exercising a little. The muscles kind of go. Now, it says here, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at also the ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among the members of us, spotting all the body, and sets on fire the course of nature. For every kind of beast and bird of the reptiles and creatures of the sea is tame and has been tamed by mankind, but no one of men can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil. With it we bless God the Father, and with it we curse men, who has been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understands among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not ascend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be. Boy, have you noticed that? Even when men say they're one thing and they do another, and we can see that, doesn't it bring confusion to you? Does it not it bring confusion to you? Sure it does. You begin to, especially if you're in a position of leadership, you're doing one thing and you're saying something else. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, the body of Christ is not stupid. They can see that you're doing something that I don't think God's in, but you're saying this that God is in. Paul said, follow me as I've followed Christ. Don't follow me as what I've done, but what I have conformed to concerning the person of Jesus. And so what is he telling us here? He started off with the issue of the tongue. Why? Because it's the tongue that can deal with our way we think under adversity, especially fear. You have to open your mouth up and say it so you can hear what God says. Now, are you ready for this? When you speak it out your mouth in adversity, God hears that. And what God does is he performs over what he hears come out of you, not what you think comes out of you. I watch over my word to perform it. So if we're going to get ahead, especially in a test or trial of life, we got to find what the Word of God says about the test or trial that we're in, and then begin to open our mouth and speak the Word of God to ourselves. When I was talking with Dad Hagen at a lunching one time, I asked him, I says, where do you find your greatest strength? And he said, well, you notice I don't talk much. And I said, no, I notice that. He says, because I learned
that the more I keep my mouth shut, the better off I am. And I said, oh, yeah, he kind of intimidates you a little bit, you know. And he says, and when I go to thinking wrong, I open my mouth and start speaking right. There was a chill that got over me. He says, I learned how to corral the way I think. I just don't let the way I think control me. I let the Word of God control the way I think by saying it. And he says, that's a lot easier for you. How many times when you're in a calamity, you always say, why? Why am I going through this? The Word of God says, you don't have to. You have to control the way you think by what God says you inherit. Now, he said something very interesting. He said, can you understand what the natural tongue can do? The natural tongue has the ability to control natural life. He says, when you open your mouth and you speak the Word of God, you are not only controlling your own thinking process, but you are actually controlling your environment by what you say to yourself, not to people that don't understand. Blowing your nose and running and coughing and sneezing. And somebody says, oh, you're catching the cold. No, I'm resisting one. Thank you. Oh, yeah, that's a good way of saying it. Has everyone told you to take care? Take care, Pastor Butler. I learned how to receive it from the positive side. Take responsibility for what you're responsible for. That's how I look at it now. I don't sit there and take care, meaning a worry. It's all according to how you think. So I tell them, thank you. I will take care. I'll take care. I'll take control of my life. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit, guess what one of them is? One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control? Where did that come from? It means I got to learn how to take control of myself. That's right. Most of us, we get the Word of God and we want to learn how to control everybody else with it. That don't work too well. Now, in closing, open up to Romans 12. Romans 12. You know what? When I get to the third heaven, I'm going to tell Zacchaeus, I hope he learned this lesson. No, I better not. I don't want to be thrown out. Romans 12, verse 2. Well, verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice this. That you may, underline this word, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I was taught that when you're not permitting yourself to be conformed by what takes place in this natural realm, but your mind is changed or transformed by its renewing, now you have the ability to prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. How many can agree with that statement? Of course. But when I looked up the word prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God, how many of you realize that mind changing or transformation is a process? This type of teaching does not exist in that last 7-year period called tribulation. Why? Because people, during that last 7-year period, they come into the kingdom by choosing Jesus, but it costs them their life. And 7 years is not enough to change anybody's way of thinking. Because transformation is in our time frame. And notice what he says there. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And this word transform is talking about an inner change. Yeah. I actually read in a book where a minister said that the new birth doesn't do really anything for you, but get you into heaven. But we know change comes in the outward man. I got to thinking, what a brilliant mind. He is so brilliant, he's dumb. Change takes place on the inside of you and then performs itself on the outside. Jesus said you can wash your dirty, filthy hands all you want. But really, what makes the cup clean is what's on the inside of it. And this word prove, well, this word conform literally means to conform to the same pattern outwardly, and it's not referring to any inward change. It means whatever you're faced with takes no change. And my word tells me if I want to change the way I'm thinking, something has to be done in order for me to change the way that I think. And not become a victim of what I could conform to. An outward pattern of saying, because how many of you know outward patterns are not good sometimes? I've never went through a test and said, hey, that's a good test to conform to. No, I want out of it. And then he says, to prove, it means to test. Now listen, let's get a hold of that. To test with expectations. To test with expectation of the approving or what is said to be found approved. Approved by God. And the word good means a putting forth the best of one's ability. I got news for you. In order to change the way you think, it's going to require the best of your ability to conform to it. If a believer comes and gets saved, and I heard the testimony come out of this one guy's mouth, and it reminded me of what Kenneth Hagin said about a donkey bringing in midnight in a tin barn. He says, I don't need to go to church. I can stay at home and be at church at home. I got my own Bible to read it. And as he was saying that to me, on the inside of me, I was thinking, you need to be in church. You need to be with the body of Christ. Why? But I got news for you. If you're going to do any mind changing or any thinking, it's going to require the best of you. And the word and is a copulative word. It joins it with other words that cannot be done without. So if I'm going to prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will, they all got to come together. And so the word acceptable literally means a knowing what is well-pleasing to God. One who is recognizing what God's will is. And sometimes it does such a number on the way you naturally think. You got to ignore the way you naturally think and say what God said. And the perfect, that which has reached its end, it's complete, full, wanting nothing, you now got control over your natural way of thinking. And the will here is the determined resolve that cannot be changed or needs adding to it of God. It means now you're complete once your natural mind has been taken control of. Did you guys get something here today? So, how do you face a test or trial? You get into the Word of God and says what the Word of God says about it, and you let it come out of your mouth to yourself. You don't speak it to other people to prove that you're a faith person. You speak it to yourself to prove to you you can seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then when you go to somebody else, it's because you got the certainty of it in your heart. And they'll know it. You know, people will know the blabber versus the real believer. You all have that ability. You all have that discernment. Amen. And I'm telling you people, just in closing, I want to just say this. Our time period is running down. It's running down. They're now speaking evil and calling it good. Listen, the media don't know how to speak good. It only knows how to speak evil. And so when somebody starts speaking good, they translate it as evil. And if you can't figure that out, turn your TV sets at home if you have a one-eyed monster. That's a religious statement. Somebody said, I don't have a one-eyed monster. I says, I have a one-eyed one, but it's big. Stand up, everybody. So the next test or trial you get into, you find out what the Word of God has to say about it, and then speak it to yourself. And listen, once you know the certainty of it, you'll share it with somebody else because it'll work for you. Yeah. God's Word will work. You know what our problem is? We've been trained how not to trust. We have been trained, the church has trained us to doubt. But when the church started, Jesus didn't have any doctrine. He got results. And that's what the people believed in. Because they didn't have any church doctrine to deal with. Sometimes our churches can be our worst enemy. Some churches. Not this one. This is a good church. Amen. Somebody said, well, where do I start talking and confessing? And some people I want to say, love your enemies. Speak good to those who despitefully use you. No, God revealed to me they got a demon. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we all need a lesson in our tongue. Because sometimes when we get into a battle or a real difficult situation, sometimes all as we know is hurt, fear, doubt. But Father, give us an understanding of how powerful speaking the word with our tongue to our ears is. Because in your word it says that when we put it upon our lips, it eventually leads to knowing the certainty of your truth. You have put it down in writing for us. What a wonderful Father you are. So that we could take the writings and the counsels and the knowledge and the wisdom that you provided for us and let them speak from our lips. Dear Heavenly Father, strengthen us to do that. Remind us to do that. Because we know the tongue is very powerful. We know that it has changed natural life. It can change the natural life through our spiritual being if we let it. It can put an anchor in our soul so that we will not drift from the kingdom of God. Now, today, if you know you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never said the sinner's prayer, you don't really understand what that's about, we'll just take a moment and invite you to the altar so that we can pray with you. If there be anybody here that doesn't know that, we want to pray for you. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in that heavenly language, then we want to pray for you. If you've never had that experience, boy, how important it is at the time period that we're living in, then you're invited to the altar also. So we'll just take a moment for those who need salvation or the infilling of the Spirit. So if you're here today, and we won't do anything to ashamed, make you feel ashamed or anything, but we'll rejoice with you. Anyone? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next one, I don't feel that we need an altar call on, because I think it's something we all must agree on. Lord, help me to choose your word for my lips. Can we all do that together without having an altar on it? That would be like saying, well, that's good for a few of you. But how many of you know that's good for all of us? So let's all do that part. Seeing how no one else came up for salvation or the baptism. So let's do it together. Just follow my prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your counsel. Thank you for your knowledge. But Father, more than anything else, thank you for your word to be placed on my lips, so that I know the certainty of your word, your truth, so that when you send me to others, I know how to speak. Dear Heavenly Father, work on my heart through the words of my mouth. I thank you for fashioning it this way. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I make my commitment this day. What time is it? 12:20. Lord, help me to remember on this day of January 20th at 12:20 that I purpose in my heart to always corral my thinking with your word from my lips, so that my ear can hear it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I bless you.